Well, as you might imagine, this is a challenging morning for me to figure out how to preach after such a huge announcement like that. But we're going to try. And just to test like our commitment to expository preaching, we're going to actually stay in the book of Romans this morning. And I'm going to try to relate the very last passage of Romans 16, the last words of Paul in this massive treatise that he has written. We call the Letter to the Romans. And so if you have a Bible, turn to Romans chapter 16. And as I looked at this week, I realized that really this is a perfect passage for what we're going through today. That I really felt like, you know what, God can use what Paul says here in these final words to the church at Rome. He can use these words in our life today. So this is really my prayer. I want this to be something that is relevant with regards to what we've heard today, with regards to the changes that we're talking about. One of the things that I realize is that when we talk about change, which really is what we're talking about this morning, we get uncomfortable. You know, how many really like enjoy big changes in your life? I mean, sometimes things get so bad that we realize, well, we really have to make changes, or we desperately want change. But the reality is, when we start making changes or trying to make changes, change can be very difficult. Change can be very unsettling for us. But what I've learned is that progress is always preceded by change, and change is always preceded by challenge. And we're at the challenge point right now at CPC South. And as we continue in that challenge phase before us, I think Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 17, can actually help us. And what we're going to learn is four different things that I think will help us navigate through this time of change. So the first thing we see here in this passage is really a warning. It's a warning. So let me read, starting in verse 17. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. So the Apostle Paul gives the church at Rome a warning here, and obviously it's a warning against divisiveness. It's a warning about people in the church community who might cause divisions, who might put obstacles in front of them as they seek to move forward. And what I've found is that whenever something like this happens, like what we're experiencing right now at this juncture in the South Campus, there's always the possibility of mistrust, of speculation, and even of gossip. So There's kind of a disease in our society, and some of it is probably warranted, but really what it is like a mistrust of any kind of authority whatsoever. And so, and maybe our political climate has brought this about, I don't know, but it's almost like people just deep down always think that there's more to the story and that somehow we're not getting all the truth. And if we really dig deep enough, then we'll find out what really is happening. And I really want you guys to know that that is really not the case here. I really think what you've seen up here today is a really healthy process of the beginning of a transition. And that's why we wanted the three of us up here together, so you could hear it from us directly. And so this is something that, again, is healthy. And so listen to Paul's warning against the division. He says several things, really, about this. And these are very pointed things about these people that would cause division. He says they are doing what is contrary to what they've been taught. He says they are not serving Christ, but their own appetites. He says they are deceptive, and they actually prey on immature, inexperienced believers. And yet, I love what Paul says. Paul is confident that the people to whom he's writing are different. So he encourages them, and he says, hey, listen, I know better about you. I rejoice because of you. I want you to be wise about what is good, and I want you to be innocent about what is evil. And I think basically what he means by that is, listen, I want you to be discerning. Be discerning. And I think he would say the same thing if he were here today to the South Campus. I know that that's not what you're about. I know that you're not people who are going to spread mistrust and gossip. I know that you're going to stay one through this process, and there will be no divisions among you. Okay, so that's an important warning. I think you guys know that. I don't think that's going to be a problem here. But just be aware that that is one of the ways the enemy works. The enemy loves to divide us. And I think that's because Paul, or that's why Paul says what he says next. Okay, and this is actually the second thing. He says, trust God to defeat the enemy. So I love this verse. And, this is one of those verses that really jumped out at me this week. Paul says in verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You know, I love how Paul kind of trash talks the enemy right here. I mean, you know, Muhammad Ali just passed away, and he was the king of all trash talkers. I mean, he used to talk like this. But here Paul says, listen, God will soon crush Satan under your feet. One of the things is that this is just a reminder to us that we're in a battle. It's an invisible war that we're in, but we really are in a battle. Satan is, as Peter calls him, a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Satan hates the church. You know that? He hates the church because Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Now, we know that on our own, by ourselves, in our own strength, we are absolutely no match for the enemy. I mean, he will crush us under his feet. But with God, and with the strength that God provides, and with the Spirit of God, God will crush him under our feet. And I believe this is meant to be a tremendous encouragement to us. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I love how he's called the God of peace, because it sounds kind of strange. You know, why would this God, who is all about peace, crush anyone, right? I mean, that's not what a person of peace does. But God's peace, the peace of God, can only be enjoyed after the battle against evil is won. God's peace can only be enjoyed after the battle against evil is won. And so I think this reminds us that we serve a great big God. There is nothing too big for him. And, you know, we described some challenges that CPC South has moving ahead. These are big challenges. I mean, finding a new location on the peninsula here in San Carlos or Redwood City, that's a massive task. I mean, have you seen what's happening out there? It's ridiculous. This is a big deal. This is a big step of faith. We're not renewing our lease here. That's a big deal. And so God has to show up. God has to show up. And man, we ask that you hit your knees every day and ask God to provide a great place for CPC South. It's a big deal. We need to find a new leader. Sean's been a great leader. He's been a great leader. He's a fantastic Bible teacher. He's a great strategist. Man, we sit around our meetings at church, and Sean is like always the guy with the strategy. He's amazing. He's a great strategist. He's a great leader. He's done a great job. And yet, the cloud has moved, and God is leading him elsewhere. And so we have a big task ahead of us to find a great leader for CPC South. Man, that's something to pray about every day. But the great thing is, our God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. And so we believe that he's big enough to do this. So that's the second thing. The third thing is in verses 21 to 23. Let me read this. It's going to sound like just a bunch of names. He actually starts in the middle of verse 20. He says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." And then he sends a bunch of greetings. And he says, "Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus send you their greetings." So, here's the third thing. Continue to serve in community. Continue to serve in community. So Paul mentions about eight people here who were with him in Corinth as he wrote the letter to the church at Rome. Now remember, Paul has already sent his own greetings to almost 30 people earlier in Romans chapter 16. But now he passes on greetings from those who are with him to those in Rome. He sends greetings from Timothy. We all know Timothy, two New Testament letters that are named after him because they were written to Timothy, Paul's co-laborer, his mentee, and then he mentions these fellow Jews, Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater. And then he mentions this guy named Tertius, who actually was the one who Paul was dictating the letter of Rome to. And then he mentions Gaius, who it appears housed one of the house churches in his home. You guys all know that the early church didn't have buildings; they met in homes, and so we believe that there were many different churches in Rome where these little house groups met in homes and they worshiped together in homes. So Gaius was one of the people who housed one of those. And then Erastus, and I love this. Paul says he's the director of public works. Isn't that great? I mean, you get this little glimpse into the early church that here they had a guy that just a regular guy, but he had an important position in Rome. He was the director of public works. That's a big deal to be the director of public works. One of our former elders, Ralph Kirkup, was the director of public works in the city of Burlingame. I always love that about Ralph. The director of public works. So he mentions him. And then finally, a brother named Quartus. Now, why are these names important? Because it's a reminder to us that real people with real names and real jobs make up the church. Because for the church to be healthy, every single person in the church contributes something. You guys know that. We're a body, and every part of the body is absolutely critical to the whole. We have different gifts, different talents, different things to offer. Some of you have church in your house as you host a small group. I just heard before we started church this morning that there are actually two new community groups starting here at the South Campus this summer, which is fantastic. People are hosting those, just like Gaius. And this is just a reminder that we're designed, we're created to do life together. One of my favorite writers, Eugene Peterson, said this: "There can be no maturity in the spiritual life, no obedience in following Jesus, no wholeness in the Christian life, apart from immersion in and embrace of community." And then I love this. He says, "I am not myself by myself." Isn't that great? I am not myself by myself. You know, so it doesn't really matter how many, like, Facebook friends we have. We all need a handful of genuine, committed brothers and sisters in Christ who do life with us and who are the kind of people that will drop everything the moment that we need them, whenever it is. And honestly, that is one of the things that is so impressive about CPC South. There's a deeply committed community of believers here. There are, as I said earlier, lots of people serving. And remember, while other things will change, that won't change. That won't change because that's who you are. and that's why you're here. So, and I would also just say with that, you know, this is not a time, to be honest, to like take a break. I know that many of you have been serving really hard, and there are probably some people here that are kind of like tired. But I would encourage you that especially these next few months, this is a time, if you can, by God's grace, to roll up your sleeves and continue to serve, because we need that. So the last thing we learn here, the fourth thing, is found in this wonderful doxology at the end of the letter. And this is how Paul closes out the letter, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith, to the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen. So the last thing we learned from this doxology is to stand firm in your purpose, to be centered around the gospel. To be centered around the gospel. Paul says several things that are interesting about the gospel here that might even surprise you a little bit. He tells us what the gospel does. And what he says is that the gospel establishes us. And that's very interesting, because I think most often we think of the gospel as something that we hear, like as a non-Christian. We hear the gospel, we accept the gospel, we believe the gospel, we embrace the gospel, and then we become a Christian. And then we basically leave the gospel for more important stuff. And that's often how we think of it, you know. But Paul says the gospel establishes us. It roots us. It strengthens us. And so the idea there is that we keep coming back to the gospel. Even as a person who's been a Christian for over 40 years, I keep coming back to the gospel. Every day I have to remind myself of who I am in Christ, of what he's done on my behalf. And the fact that I'm forgiven and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and I have the gift of eternal life and all those very basic things to the gospel. Those are the things that establish us. In our faith. And you don't grow out of those things and go on to bigger things. You keep coming back to the gospel. He also tells us, in simple words, what the gospel is. He says, basically, it's the message about Jesus Christ. No other gospel can do what this gospel does. No other gospel can save us, because no other gospel has a Savior like Jesus, crucified, risen, and coming again. He's alive. He's alive today. He's alive in this church. He's at work. And finally, he tells us who this gospel is for. He says it's for all the Gentiles, that they might come to the obedience that is by faith. Interesting little phrase there, the Apostle Paul. And it kind of brings the book of Romans full circle, because Paul talked about the obedience of faith way, way back in chapter 1. And now he ends with this little phrase again, the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith. That's our response to the gospel, is the obedience of faith. And he says here that this is not just for a few people. This is that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that is by faith. And I think this is an encouragement to us not to hold back from sharing the gospel to everyone that we possibly can. And, you know, we talk about what is the vision for the South Campus? Well, in a nutshell, that's the vision for the South Campus. For us to embody and proclaim the gospel to this part of the peninsula. And through that, to make and mature more followers of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's it. We could talk a lot about our strategy on how to do that and stuff like that. But in essence, that's the vision. It's rooted in the gospel. Matt and Sean recently told me about a story about a young man here at the South Campus who actually was playing the guitar this morning, Anthony. So you guys all know Anthony. And I got permission to tell his story from Anthony. So, but this is a good example of why you're here. Anthony started playing bass here at South about a year ago. One of Matt's drummers apparently knew Anthony and thought he might like to help us in our worship team. And so Matt met with Anthony and did an audition. And sure enough, Anthony started to play as part of our worship team. And Matt sort of learned that Anthony had been to church kind of off and on. And so he and Matt started meeting regularly to basically record music. And then Matt would throw a little Bible study in there at the same time. And Matt says they started to study subjects like, is Jesus really God? And, you know, how could a loving God possibly send anyone to hell? How could there be eternal punishment for anyone? Is Jesus really the only way to God? Questions like this. And as they studied, one day Matt really sensed the Holy Spirit leading him to ask Anthony, hey, Anthony, are you ready to give your life to Jesus? And Anthony said that he was. And they prayed together. And when they were done, what Matt told me that Anthony said to him is he felt like a huge weight has been lifted from his shoulders. And now Anthony's continuing to lead worship here, and he's plugged into our young adults ministry, and he plans on getting baptized at our next baptism. See, that's what the gospel does. That's why you're here. That's why we're here, for stories like that, because it's really about people. It's about God changing people's lives through the gospel and us bearing witness of that in word and in deed. And I love what Paul says at the end. What comes out of that? Well, Paul says this brings glory to the only wise God forever through Jesus Christ. And that's the big why, right? That's the big vision, if you can say. It's to bring glory to the only wise God. Or we might say the wise only God, because whatever he does is wise. He is wise only. It may not always seem like he's wise only, but he's wise only, and he is the only wise God. And that's why we're here. That's the purpose for which we're here. I love how some of Paul's last words in Romans are right from this doxology, where he begins and he says, now to him who is able. And honestly, I think that says it all. Now to him who is able. In fact, I want to challenge CPC South this morning to sort of make that your like go-to phrase over the next few months as we face these great challenges before us. Keep those words in your mind. Now to him who is able. In fact, say those words out loud with me right now, would you? Now to him who is able. And just remember those words. Now to him who is able. Make those your go-to words. Again, progress is always preceded by change, and change is always preceded by challenge. And so as we face these challenges that we have before us, remember those words, very simple words. Now to him who is able. Okay? Father, we thank you so much for who you are. You are a great and mighty God. We thank you that you're a God who knows us, and you know our every thought, our every feeling at once. And Lord, we're in awe of you. And we thank you so much for the work that you've done here at South Campus through Sean and Cassie. We thank you so much that you will guide and lead them to a place of blessing and fruitfulness. And we thank you so much that you have promised that you will continue to guide this community of believers into the future. We do believe, Lord, that you are able to meet these challenges that we are placing before you. And we give you glory and honor and praise beforehand for what you're going to do. And all God's people said,
amen. Amen.